perception of God. Where there's an absence of praise, there's a lack of recognition of who God is. To be silent in the presence of greatness is ingratitude. Now, whenever greatness is revealed, praise is required. So what's great about God? Well, look in verse 6 at what it says. The Lord lifts up the meek. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Look in verse 8. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow. Verse 9. He gives to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. So praise is the echo of God's greatness in the human heart. Praise is the echo of God's greatness in a human heart. Tozer said, praise is the natural outflow of a heart that is caught a glimpse of God's greatness. Why all these songs in the Bible about praise? What about how great thou art? How about praise? What is this all about? Well, I'll tell you what it's all about. It's all about recognizing and seeing God, because praise makes sense when we see God as he is. It makes sense. This is logical. It naturally flows. Spurgeon said, when we stop praising God, it's not because he ceased to be great, but because we have lost sight of his greatness. So a clear vision of God makes praise mandatory. This is not secondary. This is not a side issue. This is not insignificant, because God is high, he's holy, and he's huge. And because he's all of that, praise is the response to greatness. The greater the revelation, the louder the praise. You know, in the book of Revelation, when all the heavens and the inhabitants are seeing the Lamb in the midst of the throne, there's a mighty roar going on in heaven. And I'll tell you why. Because we're to enter into his courts with praise. He's to be approached with applause. His worthiness demands our praise. Now, praise is the instinctive response of the soul when it encounters greatness. My brother just got my family, my boys and I, and signed up for the Sons of the American Revolution. You ever heard of that organization? He's all about it. Sons of the American Revolution. And apparently we have some connection to that. Can I just say something to you? If a patriot could meet George Washington in person, they would be filled with a sense of awe. If a golfer could meet with Arnold Palmer, if that was possible, I'm telling you, they'd be overwhelmed. If a financial planner could have dinner with Warren Buffett, I'm telling you, he'd be dumbfounded. And when a human being meets God, I'm telling you, the praise is the first response, because we're overwhelmed with him. Now, seeing what God does causes us to praise him as we should. Now, look in verse 2 at some of these responses here in this chapter. Psalm 147, verse 2. Notice, the Lord builds up Jerusalem and he gathers. There's building and binding, building and gathering. We praise him. Verse 3, there's healing and binding. He healeth the broken in heart, bindeth up their wounds. Verse 4, he tells the number of stars, calls them by name. He counts and names the stars. So praise is the only response that fits the magnitude of God. Praise is response to greatness. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Praise principle number 2, praise is pleasant. Praise is pleasant. Say that out loud. Praise is pleasant. Now look in verse 1, Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. Read this out loud with me. For it is, and praise is. Now look, it's good to sing praises to God, for it's pleasant. It's pleasant, and praise is comely. You know what that means? Praise is becoming. It's appropriate. It's fit. It's pleasant. Did you know that praise just feels right to the redeemed? It just feels right to the redeemed. Fasting is a discipline that calls for denial, but praise is a discipline that produces delight. And I want to say this. Praise is a happy discipline. Praise is a happy discipline. It's comely. It's pleasant. It resonates with the redeemed. It's enjoyable. You know, praise, we praise what we enjoy. And I love to get in a revival atmosphere where God is manifesting himself, because you're talking about fun. I wouldn't give you 5 cents to go to a concert. I mean, I ain't going. to go see some entertainment or some sideshow, but you take an atmosphere where people are full of God and blessing the name of the Lord, I'll tell you what, it's just pleasant. It's just appropriate. It's just tremendous. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So praise is blessing. Now look, when bad things happen, you got a choice, panic or praise. You got a choice. And how many know that you got to make choices when you don't feel like doing nothing? Feeling ain't got a whole lot to do with it. If feeling had anything to do with it, I never would have got out of bed here this morning. But I'm just here to tell you, you can respond with gratitude or slip into frustration, anger, and indifference. Did you know that continual praise, it doesn't just lift your spirit, it rewires your mind to see the goodness of God in stuff. Now, Charlie Brown, the eternal pessimist, one day he said to Snoopy, he said, you know, one of these days we're all going to die. One of these days we're all going to die. And old Snoopy fired back and said, yeah, but all the other days we're going to live. And we're here this morning by the grace of God. And praise shifts our focus from what's wrong to what's right. Praise shifts your focus from death to life. From despair to hope, it's pleasant. Can I say that science backs up the profit of praise? Science backs up the profitability of praise. Now, the brain has something called neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity. And that simply means that repetitive thoughts strengthen these neural pathways, and it makes them our default response over time. Now, bad habits like grumbling, thinking on bad things, it cuts deep ruts in our brains, in our minds, but good habits like praise can carve new paths. And the truth is, the old neural corridors don't vanish, but they weaken with disuse as we replace them with new routines. Repetition is the key, and that's why continual praise is so vital. It resets the mental outlook. It lifts us from negativity to cynicism. You know, is anybody here wore out with Iran? Is anybody here wore out with the stupidity that's going on all around us all the time? And I'm trying to stay positive, so I'm going to cut it off right there. But all I'm telling you is, if you want to focus on all of that junk and listen to all of that propaganda, and if that's what you want to do, go ahead, and that's why you look like you do here this morning, and that's why I feel like I do here this morning. But if you praise the Lord, I'm just telling you, you can move from worry to worship, from despair to delight. Now, who would argue that 21 days of praise is a whole lot better than 21 days of grumbling? A whole lot better, I'm just telling you. Grateful people are a joy to be around. I like to get around positive people, man. I like to get around some can-do people instead of it ain't never going to happen kind of people. And you know, the soul conditioned by praise can find comfort in anything, but a murmuring heart can find comfort in nothing. There's nothing. Now, when we fix our eyes on God's goodness, peace and joy will follow. So praise is not just a reaction, it's a decision. Got nothing to do with feelings. Now, I like feelings. I'm an emotional person. My wife is not an emotional person, so she's a whole lot more stable than I am. But I like positive emotions. But you know what? You can praise God whether you've got any positive emotions or not. You can just go ahead and do the right thing. And the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. He didn't wait for perfect circumstances. I have an announcement. There ain't no perfect circumstances. They never gonna, and if it is a, you know, every now and then you hit it where everything is just right. How rare is that? But when you hit it just like that, but most of the time it's not like that. And that's got nothing to do with it. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. There's not a fleeting emotional or religious spasm. David committed to using his lips to bless God continually, no matter what. Now look, he didn't leave worship to chance. It wasn't dependent upon what was going on. And he intentionally filled his heart and mind with the thoughts of God's goodness. And a life marked with praise is God's will for every one of his children. morning, noon, and night, he turned his heart toward heaven. We got a duty to praise God. Got a duty to praise God. I got a little, looks like Stephen will be here tonight, which is the polished version, which you'll like him much better anyhow. But they have a little girl. She's 15 months. Her name is Ellie. Guess what? We get in the lazy boy, kick back. Here she is right here. And we turn on some praise music on the television. And she'll sit there for an hour. And we will praise the Lord. Amen. She's 15 months. And she's over there. She's over there lifting her and carrying on. And then she'll try to sing. She can't even say words, but she'll make noises, you know. And her mother's so musical. But we just praise the Lord. I'm just telling you, it's a pleasant thing. What a blessing. When my little grandson Noah was about 6 years old, we'd go to church when we were home, and he'd stand up on the pew beside of me, and we'd be out there singing. And I'm telling you what, me and him was having a big time over there praising God. It's pleasant. It's a wonderful thing to be able to praise the Lord. Now, morning, noon, and night. Now, we can reprogram our minds to default to worship that will create pathways of gratitude that will shape our perspective. Now, this ain't about denying pain or pretending that everything is cool. Somebody said, well, I'm too blessed to be depressed. My response, no, you're not. No, you're not. I mean, that sounds good, and I've said that, and I thought that, but I found out you can be powerfully blessed and have an oppressive spirit come over you for no apparent reason. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
But in the middle of all of that, if we choose to see God's hand every moment, whether it's good or bad, it will help us. And when praise becomes our first response, we see God is bigger than our problems. I said he's bigger than our problems, he's more faithful than our fears, and he's worthy of our trust. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. So we can train our hearts to bless God at all times, regardless of what's going on. We can rewire our minds with worship and see how God reshapes our perspective. If we find it difficult to praise God for what's going on, at least we can praise him for what's going to be. It's all coming out. I have another good thought for you here this morning. I believe that Christians are obligated to forgive. But I believe that God put in the side of the human heart a desire for justice. And you realize in Revelation, the blood of the martyrs is crying out at that late hour, how long? And I want to say something to you. You've been cheated, ripped off, betrayed, lied to, and abused. Can I just say something to you? We are obligated to forgive, but I'm telling you, vengeance ain't ours. It belongs to him, and there's a day of reckoning coming. And listen up. Justice might not come down here, and the way it looks, there's going to be less of that all the time. But I'm telling you, there's ultimate justice, and God's going to sort this whole sorry situation out one of these days. And brother, he's going to take care of it, and we can take heart in that. We might not see nothing now, but I'm here to tell you, brother, it's going to be a scary thing when we fall into the hands of the living God, much less the unrepentant. And I'm just here to tell you, I don't know what that's got to do with anything. I think that's a pleasant thing. Praising God is pleasant. Now look, praising has a lifting effect. It elevates the soul. It magnifies God, but it elevates the praiser. You feel better when you're praising God. I got certain songs I listen to, certain music that I like that just helps me. And I'm telling you, praise is not a burden laid upon us. It's a delight released within us. It's pleasant. Praise principle number three. Praise is the heart response that pleases God. Say that out loud. Praise is the heart response that pleases God. Look in verse 10. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of man. Verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. Praise is the applause that heaven deserves. Praise is the applause that heaven desires. God takes pleasure in those who praise him. Now, it's the pathway into the presence of God. God loves praise. He inhabits praise. It's his address. Psalm chapter 22, he inhabits the praises of Israel. So God is in an unceasing stream of praise all the time. Why? Because praise is God's dwelling place. God is enthroned upon the praises of the saints. It's his habitation. It's where he makes his abode. And God dwells in the praises of his people. So praise is more than a song or a moment. It's his address. It's his dwelling place. And when we offer heartfelt praise, we step into the very place where the triune God resides, surrounded by unceasing adoration. So imagine praise as the key that unlocks the door to the sacred courts of heaven. Look at it that way. Come into his courts with praise. Enter into his courts with praise. Now through praise, we enter into the same courts where the angels and the elders and the redeemed, we're in the same atmosphere they're in when we're in an attitude of praise. It aligns our hearts with God's kingdom. It welcomes his rule and authority. Praise shifts our focus from circumstances to his glory. And when we begin to praise instead of, when we start with praise instead of petitions, it lifts the weight of our problems to the majesty of God. The sister here this morning lost her husband. Sister here this morning lost her mother. I tell you, death's a bummer, but I'll tell you what, this kind of praise can lift our hearts from what's going on here and the griefs and the sorrows. And I ain't minimizing none of that. I'm just telling you, it can help us to fixate giving praise to God, not as a fleeting glance, but as a gaze. God delights not in the strength, not in strength, but in those who fear him and hope in his mercy. Andrew Murray said this, it's not the greatness of our performance that moves God, but the sincerity of our praise. How many are thankful for that? It's not the greatness of our performance, but the sincerity of our hearts. So God's not impressed with human might, but he's pleased with humble trust, sincere praise. Now heaven, there's a symphony of adoration, and celestial worship is no quiet affair. It's not an organ recital. It's not a piano recital. It ain't a Gregorian chant. It's a mighty roar. Listen to this. I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, saying with a loud, loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and honor and strength and glory. Heaven's praise is vibrant, it's unbridled, it's intense. It's a roaring anthem to the Lamb who's worthy. Now look, if you're unaccustomed to fervent praise on earth, heaven might be a shock. It might be shocking when you get there and find out that what's going on there is an atmosphere of intense excitement. But we can prepare now by cultivating a lifestyle of passionate praise. So let your praise unlock the courts of heaven and praise and fix your gaze upon him and allow your problems to fade into the background. Praise is a heart response that pleases God. Praise principle number four, praise is the only correct response to favor. Say that out loud. Praise is the only correct response to favor. Look in verse 20. He hath not dealt so with any nation. It's talking about Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. There was no other people like the chosen people. There's nobody else that had more advantages, had more benefits, had more oracles, more revelations, more prophets, more favor. Nobody. I want to tell you, praise is the only correct response to favor. And as somebody said to you this morning, praise delivers us from blessing blindness. Blessing blind. So here we are, got all these things going on, and we're blind to the good things that's going on. Anybody here remember what you ought to forget and forget what you ought to remember? Anybody else get it backwards? You're remembering the junk and you're forgetting the good stuff, right? Well, praise will deliver you from blessing blindness and open your eyes to see the goodness of God. Now look, Israel was chosen. You know about a favored nation status. I mean, think about it. Of all the nations, nobody was singled out like the nation of Israel. What other nation was owned by God? What other nation was ever chosen by God? What other nation had more visitations from heaven, more privileges? And the Bible says in 1 Peter, but you are a chosen generation. Listen to this, a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. We've been blessed and highly favored. Spurgeon said this, those who recognize God's favor cannot remain silent. Praise becomes their testimony. I'm telling you, mercy calls for praise. Forgiveness calls for praise. Favor calls for praise. Praise attracts the presence of God. In 2 Chronicles 5, the glory of God filled the house as they praised the Lord and thanked the Lord. And when Israel lifted their voices in unified praise, the temple was so saturated with the glory of God, the glory cloud of God, that nobody could even remain standing because his presence was overwhelming and God's glory and power and deliverance broke forth when his people exalted him. The Bible says, in Judah is God known. The word Judah, anybody know what that word means? Praise. That's what it means. Praise. It means praise. In Judah, in praise, God reveals himself. I believe this. He makes himself known. You know, the Puritans often spoke about those special seasons when God would draw feelingly near. And worship and praise creates an atmosphere where God manifests himself. In other words, he shows up and shows off wherever he finds praise. And I believe the manifest presence of God refers to those moments when the Lord is so clearly among his people that everybody knows it. There's a tangible presence. We were just in Freeman Street Baptist Church back in March, and Sunday morning, we decided to do something different. So everybody came in early. We did the heart searching brochure, sent them out for 35 minutes or something. They come back in, and then we're having testimonies about what God had said to the people as they work through this exercise. Well, this went on for like 30-some minutes. And then I finished, and it was time for church, and pastor got up. He just kept on with it. We dispensed with the entire program. He kept on going with testimonies. People started giving testimonies. It's Sunday morning now. And then he said, Harold, you got anything to say? So I had no sermon, no notes, but got up and rambled for an hour on being honest with God. It went on for about 3 hours. And, you know, there are seasons like that when God comes among his people. And everybody knows it. You ain't got to tell nobody. It's just there. How refreshing is this? How good is this? How much better is this? Disorganized spiritual chaos, so to speak. In other words, there's just this God comes where he's wanted. And I do believe this, that God does come where he's wanted. He comes where he's wanted. And revival happens where God is welcome to be himself. How many know that God doesn't have to fit into white man's religion? Southern religion? Black man's religion? Cultural religion. He don't have to fit in with what I think. He doesn't consult with me before he does what he's going to do, and he don't have to. And I believe we need to let the deity out of the straitjacket and allow God to be God. We're not talking about something stupid here. We're talking about God coming to visit his people. God comes where he's wanted. Amen. He comes where he's desired. He comes where people long for him, crave for him, thirst for him. My soul thirsts for the living God. And praise is deeply attractive to God. Praise invites eternity into time. It's like a divine magnet. It pulls the presence of God from heaven to earth. You know, after one Sunday morning service, a couple of guys were walking home, and one of them said to the other one, he said, you know, we had a good deal of the presence of God in the meeting today. Did you know that praise has a cleansing effect? It has a cleansing effect. Praise repels the devil. He cannot stand an atmosphere of adoration to God. Pollen season is a bummer. Can I get a witness on that right there? And can I just say, Satan is allergic to praise. He's having an allergic reaction when people are praising God. I mean, grumbling and murmuring, right? He's right in there. But, buddy, he's allergic to praise. During the Shangtung Revival with C.L. Culpepper and Bertha Smith and those Southern Baptist missionaries, had a mighty move of God. And first thing that happened was the ministers got right with each other. The missionaries got right with each other. Second thing, church members got saved. Third thing, scores of people got saved. And they said in China at that time they had so many demon-possessed people, there was no way they could deal with them individually. So their strategy was to get these demon-possessed people in an environment of unbridled praise where revived, cleansed saints were singing from the bottom of their hearts, magnifying the greatness of God. And they said that no demon could hold its ground for more than an hour in an intense atmosphere of praise. Amen. And you know, these oppressions, suppressions, depressions, all of this stuff coming from the spiritual world, it can be repelled, I believe, by praise, because praise draws God in and drives the enemy out. A revival atmosphere is a healing atmosphere. And I just believe that environment is important. I believe atmosphere is important. I believe where we live and dwell is important. I just believe this, and I believe an atmosphere of praise is the healthiest, holiest, best possible thing in a fallen world, is an atmosphere where God is praised. Jesus is lifted up and he draws people to himself. So when his name is exalted, he draws near to his people. Praise is the only proper response to God's favor. Amen. You know, the angel said to Mary, you're blessed and highly favored. And we have been blessed and highly favored. So the challenge here is the praise challenge. I know Pastor Dan, he's worked through this in some of the services here, but we got the books out there. So the challenge today is to take a 21-day praise challenge. 21-day praise challenge. Now, actually, there's 22. We got a bonus chapter here. So there's 22 chapters here, only about 800 words. Don't take long to read it, but this is great for a family or an individual to daily go through. It's a scripture, explanation, and then you got praise projects for the day, and then related scriptures. But to just 21 days, dedicate to praising God, the 21-day praise challenge. Now, I asked Sherry this morning, I said, I was here last fall, and I don't remember what I spoke on. It's a fat chance. Do you have any idea what I spoke on? And you know what she said? I can't remember what I did yesterday, much less last fall. And if the speaker can't remember what he spoke on, I probably could have repeated the same thing and you wouldn't know the difference anyhow, but I forgot. But I think if I spoke on what I think I spoke on, I challenged you to set a buzzer on your phone 7 times a day. Does anybody remember that? And that's the praise break reminders 7 times. the thing goes off. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. I was having lunch the other day with a guy, and my phone was on the table. I said, excuse me, brother, it's time for a praise break. And shut up a little brief sentence of praise. And if you're alone or at home, you can cut on the YouTube, man, or if you can sing, go ahead and do it yourself, but just have a more elongated time of praise. And could I just challenge you to consider having the praise challenge and for 21 days, dedicate to having 7 times a day of praise. Now, look, if my phone didn't go off, do you think I'd remember to praise God 7 times a day at certain times? Ain't no way. But when that thing goes off and I can feel it or hear it, I'm past feeling. Sometimes I hear it. Hey, time for a praise break. And it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be lengthy. It doesn't have to be formal. It can be casual. And just shoot up a praise to God. So I want to challenge you to get the book. They're back there on the table. Debbie can help you with them. I want to challenge you to do the 7 times a day routine. Will I praise thee 7 times a day? If David wrote that, it's not like he didn't have a plenty to do as the king, but he set aside 7 compartments a day to praise the Lord. And if it takes 21 days to form a habit, I don't know about that. I think I can form a bad habit in 7 minutes. It don't take me no 21 days to come up with something negative, but maybe on something positive. 21 days will help us to develop a lifestyle, you with me right here, of praising the Lord. So I want to challenge you to get the book. I want to challenge you to dedicate to do this as a family. That'd be good. One church in the Winston-Salem area they got 450 books, every family in the church. They did it, and they did it in preparation for a revival meeting. And things happened among the people, and the atmosphere of the church was greatly encouraged and challenged. So go through the book, and 7 times a day. How many would say, Harold, I'll take that challenge by the grace of God to 7 times a day praise the Lord? How many would say, I'm going to give that a shot? Would you do that? Would you do that? And if you don't know enough to set your phone, there's a few young people here that can help you out. And you get that sorted out, and I'll tell you, it'll be a blessing to you. So praise is proper response to greatness. My son Stephen, he just made an offer on his first house. And you know, when they sell a house, they have to make an appraisal. And what is praise? Well, you got to make an appraisal of God before you can praise him as you should. You got to find out why he's to be valued. What is it about him? What's the big deal? So praise is proper response to greatness. Praise is the only correct response to favor. It's the only proper response. And we respond to God's favor with enthusiastic praise. We can bless his holy name. All right, that's it. Praise principles. Thank you for your patience. Sorry, I'm feeling so sorry, but God's good anyway. Amen. Now, how many believe you're going to have a good week here this week? Amen. If I get sorted out, I'm coming back over. I hope I can make it back over. But let's just stand and let's praise the Lord for a minute. Could we do that? Let's just stand our feet. Why don't you right there in your own seat just offer up some praise to God. Just some verbal praise to God. Just magnify the name of God. Just bless the name of the Lord. Pastor will come here in a second and close us. But let's individually here just praise the Lord for a few moments for his goodness to us, the children of men. Just bless the Lord for a few moments here this morning. Oof.